and great meeting.
Thank you, Karen. If I could get you to lower your hand on that app for me, please, ma'am. Any other public comment? Any other public comment? All right, before I go to approval of the agenda, guys, I want to make sure we have a quorum, Kelly. I think we do, just looking at the names, but I'll go down through here. Mr. McKenzie, I see you. Mr. Biaggi. Mr. Boyce. Mr. Lister. Mr. M, I heard you earlier. Mr. Molini, Mr. Swanson. How about Starla? I have not seen Starla, and I don't see her number. Okay. Well, we have a quorum. We're good to go. And with that, I'll move on to number three, approval of the agenda. Is there a motion for approval?
Steve.
Second, anyone?
Second. Chris.
Second by Chris. Anyone opposed? Good. We're going to have a meeting. Agenda's approved. Approval of the minutes. Approval of minutes held Thursday, December 10th, 2020. Anything on that? Anyone corrections, additions, comments on those minutes? You do have them. They were sent out a while back. Any comments, corrections, additions to those minutes from December 10th?
Move to approve.
If motion to approve by Chris, is there a second?
Second.
Sure. Thanks, Alan. Alan did. I saw him. I saw his lips moving over there. All right. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Council member items and correspondence. So anyone, any council member first, any council member wish to bring anything forward, make comments at this time, or bring any correspondence forward? Council members? All right, Kelly, I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to you, sir, as the program manager.
Thanks, Jerry. Good afternoon, members. I just wanted to make one announcement under this agenda item, and that is Ethan Maurer, this will be his last council meeting and his last week with the program. He can turn on his mic if he wants to say a few words, but he's staying within the state of Nevada system, but moving to a different part of the state and working for a different department. Like I said, I'll let him speak to that. And I just want to publicly say that it's been a joy and a pleasure working with Ethan. He's been instrumental on a number of the things that you guys have reviewed and approved over the past. He's kind of spearheaded the adaptive management local work group efforts and making sure their correspondence gets back to the higher level. There are a number of improvements without his efforts in identifying like the invasive annual grasses in Nevada and where those priorities should be relating to sage grouse habitat. He spearheaded that effort. He worked and developed on the prorating system that allows folks to begin their uplift and begin to generate credits early on. Just overall, just has always been a professional and a real team member. And I just want to express my thanks to Ethan and best wishes to him and his new endeavors. Any words you'd like to share, Ethan?
Yeah, thanks for the kind words, Kelly, and I appreciate the council, all your time that you put into these efforts that you do. It's not insignificant, and I appreciate it. It's been fun. I took a job with the Nevada State Parks, and I'm moving to Caliente in this weekend. So, but I I've enjoyed thoroughly every moment I've been here and appreciate the opportunity to participate in this process. So thank you. And thanks, Kelly. Appreciate that. I wouldn't go so far as to say I've been professional in all ways, but it's been fun.
Well, Ethan, I want to echo what Kelly said. You're going to be greatly missed. We definitely appreciate everything that you have done for this program and for the team. And I'm very, very much appreciated, sir. And don't worry about being a professional around here. So we're kind of, it comes with territory. We just get her done, and we like that. So thanks a bunch. We're going to miss you. Good luck. And you come through Eureka and you break down, let me know. It's on the way to Caliani. We can help you out. So, okay. All right, Kelly, anything else, or is that it, sir?
That's it, JJ, thanks.
Okay, let's go on to number six, review and discussion on Senate Joint Resolution number 3 that urges Congress to provide funding to reduce wild horse and burro populations to appropriate management levels for possible action. I'm gonna go ahead and start with Willie. I did hear some side conversation with Willie and Sherm. Willie, this is at your request, sir. That's why this is on the agenda, so I'd like you to go ahead and kick it off, and then I believe Sherm and Rebecca will both probably be weighing in. So go ahead, Willie.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I apologize that I still don't have a camera on my computer, so you can't see me, but you won't miss that anyway. So anyway, I really first off want to thank you and Kelly for being responsive to my request to get this. I hated to ask for a special meeting, but given the circumstances, as all of you know, with the legislature, we just don't know when this resolution will be heard. We were trying to find out, but I was afraid it could be heard before our March 30 meeting, so I requested that we have this meeting. I think it would be very important and very valuable to have the Sagebrush Ecosystem Council's support and endorsement of this resolution, especially considering the mission of the Sagebrush Ecosystem Council. So anyway, I do appreciate your efforts, Mr. Chair and Kelly. In a way of a brief background, I'm representing a small organization which obviously cares greatly about our public lands. We call ourselves the Coalition for Healthy Nevada Lands, Wildlife, and Free Roaming Horses and Burros. I'm going to just tell you our core membership, and I think most of you will know the majority of these people, but Rebecca Stetson is our chair. Other members are Karen Boger, Tina Nappi, Sherm Swanson, Jim Sedinger, Mike Cox, David Ricker, and myself. A number of other people have participated with us in our deliberations over time, and most recently we've had some help and input from Boyd Spratling, and Boyd is indicated an interest to continue to be involved with us. We started as a group back in the summer of 2019 with the idea of screening, the educational screening of the film Horse Rich and Dirt Poor. And we did have that, held that at the Nevada Museum of Art in Reno on October 23rd of 2019. We had an overflow crowd in attendance, and the event was well received by the attendees. sponsorship for that event, which did cost us a few dollars, came mostly from wildlife-related organizations, Nevada Bighorns Unlimited, the Coalition for Nevada's Wildlife, Trout Unlimited, the Wild Sheep Foundation, Checker Chasers Foundation, Nevada Checker Foundation, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and the Toyabe chapter of the Sierra Club. After that showing, many people approached us and said, what are you going to do next? And we said, well, we'll assure you that we're going to keep working to try and get wild horses under real sustainable management. And I want to be clear here, Mr. Chair, that in all of our deliberations and the information we put forth, we have never been critical of the BLM or for their wild horse and burro management program. In fact, to the contrary, we believe that those agencies know what needs to be done and they know how to do it. Unfortunately, they have been severely hindered by lack of financial resources and political support, and we hope to help change that. We've worked with all the gatherers since together proposals and writing letters in support of those. We've also contacted other similarly situated groups as ours to see if we might find a way to work collaboratively. We put together, of course, this proposed resolution that's now before you. And we took that, we tried to get the support and took it to NACO to get their support. And then in early September, we presented it to the Legislative Interim Public Lands Committee to get their support and to request that they have a legislative introduction of this resolution. They gave us unanimous support and agreed to submit to the legislature. So here we are with the resolution before us. I think that the things I want to emphasize is that I think most of you have probably had a chance to look at the resolution. I don't want to get bogged down in the whereases, but the essence of what we're requesting is that the resolution supports the BLM 2020 report to Congress, which is known as the Path Forward and has been supported by humane and industry organizations. The essence of the Path Forward is to reduce on-range horse and burro populations to AML, or appropriate management level, using non-lethal methods, including gatherers and fertility control measures, and to accomplish that within 20 years. Well, our second ask in the resolution, our second resolve, and the major difference with the Path Forward is we would like to see AML achieved in 6 years, which will require, of course, aggressive actions on gathers for removal of horses and burros from the public lands. And we support fertility control if we could find something that had long-lasting efficacy. So that is a little background. That's in essence where we are, Mr. Chairman. But I guess the one other point I would make, given the presentation that Dr. Coates gave us a month or so ago, 2 months, I guess now, about data on horse AML and sage-grouse population response, that they have some pretty good data to indicate where horses are at appropriate management level. Sage-grouse populations are stable to increasing, where horses are well over AML, sage-grouse populations are declining. So I think that's a linchpin for me as far as the tie-in to the SEC. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be quiet and move on to Sherm or Rebecca, and or maybe I'd be happy to address questions now or later. Thank you.
You bet, Willie. And you know, as a member of that team that authored the Path Forward, I want to thank you and Rebecca and this Healthy Nevada Lands group for stepping up and supporting that and giving us additional support as we go forward in the appropriations process and trying to secure additional funding for folks like Mr. Raby and Mr. Dunkelberger to do what needs to be done. I very, very much appreciate it, and I'm glad to see that it's coming from another angle. So much appreciated, sir. Let's hold questions until the end if we can, guys. So I don't know, Rebecca or Sherm, which one of you guys wants to go next, but whoever does, please jump in, and let's move ahead.
Rebecca, I am. I couldn't make Microsoft Teams work just yet, so I am here by phone.
Okay, we have the opening slide up about the coalition.
Wonderful. So thank you guys, and especially Chairman, for having us. And again, what Willie said, thank you for making a special meeting. We are the Coalition for Healthy Nevada Lands. Thank you for Willie for covering who we are and the personage that comprise our coalition. Our mission is to ensure that Nevada's lands are managed to conserve, preserve, and maintain a thriving natural ecological balance. And with this issue at hand, we see that it is being severely threatened right now, and that there's no time better than now to do the most that we can, the best that we can, as soon as we can, to make a difference. So our goal is to work through the political process to enable change in wild horse management, and to achieve that thriving ecological balance that was called for in the Wild and Free Roaming Horse and Burro Act of 1971. And the way that we're trying to do that is by educating the public about how the current management situation inhibits the mission even being attained. What we found is that there are so many Nevadans who have no idea that horses are even an issue. Education is a big part of what we're working on. And this resolution is a stepping stone to getting a lot of people educated about what that looks like. The habitat impacts are unsustainable and very expensive. And so, like I said, we're just hoping to do as much as we can, as fast as we can. Sure, I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. So some people may not realize that Nevada has the bulk of the wild horses, about half of the wild horses across the whole nation, more than any other state. It's really centered on the Great Basin, and so that makes our voice all the more important on this issue. We're not taking issue with the vision of the 1971 Wild and Free Roaming Horses and Burro Act. In fact, it was a very good vision. These horses are an integral part of the natural system of public lands, and people care about them. The Secretary shall manage wild and free roaming horses and burros to achieve and maintain a thriving natural ecological balance. Key words in that law. Excess animals must be removed from an area to preserve and maintain that thriving natural ecological balance and multiple use relationships. This is a law that passed the Senate 98-0 because it was a political compromise that embraced other multiple uses. All management activities shall be at the minimum feasible level, but they shall be carried out with the consultation of the wildlife agency of the state and shall protect the natural ecological balance of all wildlife species, particularly endangered wildlife species, but all wildlife species, to protect the range from deterioration associated with overpopulation. The mechanism for doing that is to set and then maintain appropriate management levels. And so what we have is a vision of a sustained ecosystem and habitats for wild and free roaming horses and burros, but also wildlife and all the other people who depend on these public lands. Thriving horses, burros, wildlife, livestock, and habitats into perpetuity. The reality is that AML should be a range from high to low. We've realized that the value of having that low AML is it gives us a bottom for the population so that we can maintain population integrity. But by having a range, we can gather to the bottom and then allow the horses to increase to the upper level and not gather every year. We almost achieved AML once, but then we failed, and that was high AML, but then we failed to maintain that. And in recent years, we've seen this phenomenon that for people who are familiar with population growth, exponential growth can be rather mind-boggling. The vision, I think, is that we would gather these horses when needed, but unfortunately, our semantics have gotten in the way, and we've called them reductions instead of maintaining the population. And reductions make people think of scarcity, and it's caused people to act in odd ways. And that odd behavior has allowed our populations to go through and into and currently in this exponential growth. The blue is the Nevada part of the national herd. The total shaded area there is the nation's herd. The red line is the nation's AML and the blue line is Nevada's AML. And you see now that we are considerably about four times the current AML level for the state. Without gathers, populations grow exponentially, they double. And if they can double at a different rate, depending upon whether they're being controlled by density dependent or density independent features. But when they're at AML, they tend to increase at about 3 years. They double in about 3 years. But when they're doubling, you can see that you pretty soon get to very large numbers. We're currently at about four times AML. So the next doubling is pretty amazing. And the one after that is even more so. Without gathers, populations grow at about 25%. That's a doubling time of about 3 years. When they're above AML, they don't grow quite so fast, but they still double at about 18% or about 4 years. And when they're starving, they continue to grow. These are growth rate figures that I got from Alan Shepard in a phone call last spring. Even 5 to 6 years to double is pretty scary when you think that we're going from four times AML to possibly eight times AML. Over the time period that we've been looking at, our total native big game equivalents, that's based on body weight, to horses and burros are graphed in blue, while the horses and burros, which are supposed to be just in those herd management areas or wild horse and burro territories, are graphed in red. And you see that we're getting way past the level of native wildlife in terms of the amount of biomass and therefore impact of horses. We've learned from Pete Coates about the mechanisms by which horses can impact sage grouse. And as Willie summarized, AML seems to be just about right. And so our vision is animals, horses, and wildlife that are healthiest at AML, happiest at AML. And we think that's very much in line with the law. The question is, how do we get that law implemented? One of the things that I have noticed as a riparian focused person teaching, coordinating the Nevada Creeks and Communities team and also doing riparian research through UNR while before I retired, is that these riparian areas are the hot spots on our rangelands for all kinds of multiple uses. And what we've learned recently is that horses use these spring fed meadows, what we targeted as late brood rearing habitat by sage grouse. The horses use these 50 times more than they use an equivalent amount of land elsewhere in their allotment. And that's even more than cattle concentrate in riparian areas. We've known for decades that cattle do that. We haven't been talking so much about horses do that, but they do so at a level that is even higher than cattle. And when that level of use causes these riparian areas to lose their ability to function and their resilience that comes from riparian functions, they fall apart and no longer can provide the kinds of values that they can provide when they are functioning properly. We've got a Zoom class on riparian proper functioning, condition assessment, and integrated riparian management coming up in early April. If any of you are interested in attending that class, send me an email and I'll be happy to add you to the list. But horses do indeed have an impact in addition to cattle. This comparison between cattle and horses is somewhat interesting. And we find that there are some attributes of horses and burros that mitigate rangeland and riparian impacts. One is that horses often travel farther from water to forage than cattle do. There's also some attributes of horses and burros that magnify their impacts on rangelands and riparian areas. And one is that horses selectively graze these spring meadows even more than cattle. We talked about that. Some herds or bands migrate so that riparian areas are not used season long, but even migrating herds use summer range throughout the growing season, and many herds don't migrate. Horses and burros with one stomach also eat more per their body size than do other ungulates, the ruminants. And horses and burros with a top and bottom incisor teeth can also bite off the root crowns As my advisor told me a long time ago, they walk around with a shovel at the end of each leg. And so these free roaming horses and burros can dominate riparian use where present, and they dominate the use far and away at a higher level than the big game wildlife species tend to do. And that can lead to more damage than recovery, and what we need is more recovery than damage. We have a variety of strategies that we can use for managing cattle grazing of riparian areas. I've spent quite a bit of time thinking about this, and there's quite a list of strategies that we can write into our management planning or implement. And the bottom line is we need to have more of these strategies that work to reduce the impact and to allow the recovery of riparian areas so that we can have more recovery. Riparian areas are actually very resilient when they're functioning properly and they can recover quickly. Unfortunately, with horses, we don't have so many tools. We have the tool of AML, and managing populations for AML is the primary tool in the toolbox. We could also develop some off-stream waters to sort of move some of that away from natural riparian areas. But the rest of these tools require a level of management that is not consistent with the way most people view the law. And so that really pushes us back to this idea that we need to manage for AML, a concept that is supported not only by our coalition, but by other coalitions. JJ mentioned the coalition that created the path forward. There's also the National Horse and Burro Rangeland Management Coalition and the Free Roaming Equids and Ecosystem Sustainability Network. All of us see this AML as critically important. JJ mentioned the path forward, and it's about gathers and removals for AML. It's about also other tools, population growth suppression tools that might help us do that at less cost if they can be made effective. There's a challenge in getting to there, but the other part of this is to relocate horses and burros for large, cost-effective, humane pasture facilities that allow them to live a life very similar to the life they would live on a public land range, but without the ability to reproduce. That's key. And we can also promote adoptions. Adoptions have been part of the Wild Horse and Burro program since the Public Rangeland Improvement Act of 1978. And at a time, we were adopting a number of horses that allowed us to be sustainable. The real thing that is very important to many people, including us, is humane treatment of horses and burros. And some people are very focused on careless endangerment at or after gathering, and that's prohibited by law, and fortunately it's quite rare. There's also this inhumane treatment of starvation or dying of thirst by horses at populations when they're over AML. Unfortunately, that's quite common. The humane treatment is healthy horses on healthy rangelands. That's our goal and the goal of others. And humane treatment is also off-range horses on pasture with forage and care, and we believe that is very consistent with the best path forward. So this best path forward, the amount and lasting impact of damage to wildlife and habitats are governed by this excess population size, the time needed to achieve AML. The longer the time, the more we have that damage to wildlife and wild horse habitats and multiple use rangeland ecosystems. And so if we could get to AML, this horizontal line at the bottom, fast, that would be better. And if we don't do that, the costs increase. And because we're dealing with exponential growth, they can increase to be very substantial. Many people focus on the cost to the federal government, and the best path forward might cost a fair amount of money initially, but it is going to substantially reduce long-term costs. Without long-term fertility control, the cost each year of gathering for short-term fertility control is similar to the off-range holding, and excess animals continue to impact habitats. So without that process of long-term fertility control, we're not actually getting to where we need to go. And therefore, the lowest cost or the best option is gathering to AML just as soon as possible, as Willie mentioned. And the failure to address this moment is ominous. That exponential growth phenomenon that I mentioned earlier with the doubling time. The adaptability of horses is largely governed by their age and their numbers. At AML, there would be approximately 5,400 excess animals per year. And that is less than the demand, at least less than the demand was before the Great Recession. This number could be entirely young animals, younger than five, and therefore the entire excess animal group withdrawn from gathered from rangelands when at AML could be entirely adopted. In our belief, if it isn't, if they aren't all adoptable, we could offer some financial incentives and actually in the long term reduce government costs. That's certainly a tool worth using. We could also use long-term growth suppression fertility treatments that would reduce the frequency of gathers and reduce the number of free roaming horse and burros that are available for adoption. I think that's a choice. It's a choice we could make easily once we got to AML, but until we get there, we don't have a sustainable way forward. Grazing over long periods, the grazing animals tend to select the best and fertilize the rest, and that's especially true when they're in the same place year round or for all of the growing season. They graze the plants that grew the best and then they regraze them. And when the perennials wear out, the annuals then invade faster and thrive, and as we've talked many times, then fuel these big fires. This is indeed an issue that threatens some of our Nevada symbols. Sagebrush is our state flower. The Sagebrush Ecosystem Council that we are so focused on depends on these perennial bunch grasses, and in order to be resilient after fire, the state animal, desert bighorn sheep, and the state fish, Lahontan cutthroat trout, in addition to those watersheds and sagebrush ecosystems, also depend on riparian areas. And so this is an issue that we believe is very germane to the interests of Nevada, and that Nevada's voice in this conversation nationally is a very substantial voice, because we have half the horses of the nation, and when we don't do what needs to be done, we get to the kinds of situations that are discussed in these videos. And if you want to see more footage and think more deeply about this issue, I recommend those videos, which are available online. With that, I'll stop sharing my screen be happy to take any questions that that anybody may ask.
Okay, if you have a question, if you'd raise your hand, if you have a question for one of these guys, while I'm waiting to see if anyone has a question, I'm gonna go over to Director Raby. John, are you on the phone?
Mr. Chair, can you hear me okay?
There you are, yes, sir.
All right, well, very good, and thanks so much for having an opportunity to speak. I just wanted to say thank you so much to the folks at the Coalition for Healthy Nevada Lands. I know everyone that's on the call today, Rebecca, Willie, Karen, and Sherm, you've spent a lot of time and energy over the years to advance this conversation, and I appreciate everything that you've done in the past and are currently doing, and I know we'll do into the future to help support advancing the significant efforts it's going to take to get our wild horse and burro populations to AML here in Nevada, and do that as soon as possible. And just thanks for your work, and I just really again I just can't thank you enough. So I appreciate it, and I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Director Raby. I don't see any questions, guys. I don't see any hands up. So again, Sherm, thank you for that presentation, and the three of you. And I know Karen is also on the phone. Karen, thank you as well. I don't know everyone's numbers that are up there, so there may be others of your group on as well, but know that we are appreciative. And I personally am, and I believe this council is as well, of the work you've done and pushing this and getting that interim committee on public lands to bring this resolution forward. So if we don't have any questions or comments, oh, wait a minute, somebody snuck in. Who we got? Bill? Yes, sir. And Sherm, you're still sharing your screen. If you want if you want to stop sharing your screen, I'm going to go to Mr. Dunkelberger. Okay, Bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. Just to echo what John said, I think the Forest Service really appreciates and supports this effort. I really appreciate the fact that you guys are approaching it so professionally and using good science and with the goal of affecting the political process. I think that's the right way to go. And while we can't lobby, we certainly look forward to the fruits of your labor in helping both the BLM and the Forest Service have more resources to deal with this problem. So thank you.
Well, Bill, I certainly want to also thank the Forest Service for supporting much of the riparian research that we did, focused on sage, grouse, late broodering habitats, but in allotments across the state. And Forest Service was a major supporter of that research.
Thank you, Bill.
Happy to help.
And I guess anybody on the phone have a question for these guys? We have some that called in that aren't able to raise their hand on the function. Anyone on the phone with a question?
And this is Rebecca Stetson. I'll wait to see if there's anyone who has a question, but I would like to make a closing remark.
Sure, Rebecca, go ahead.
Okay, wonderful. I so appreciate all of your time and attention. It has been such a pleasure to work with all these folks of this coalition to really try to surmount a problem that most people think is insurmountable. And I appreciate the support for this resolution, and more is yet to come. So this definitely is a very small step in a very big project, and we just ask for your ongoing support above and beyond this resolution.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. Is there a motion? I would entertain a motion to approve the SEC endorsing Senate Joint Resolution 3 that urges Congress to provide funding to reduce wild horse and burro populations to appropriate management levels. Is there a motion to that effect?
JJ, this is Steve. I would very much like to make that motion. Yes,
right.
I would very much like to make.
Is there a second? Gotcha,
I'll
Steve.
Second.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Chris, thank you, sir. Thank you. Been moved by Mr. Boyce, seconded by Vice Chair McKenzie. Any discussion from anyone on the council? Any discussion on the motion? Anyone opposed? Go ahead. Somebody wants to say something. I don't know if you're opposed. It almost sounded like Willie.
Yeah, it is Willie. And no, I'm not opposed.
You better not be.
I guess I would have one more ask, and I don't know if it needs to be a part of the motion, but I'm wondering if we could get an email letter out of the SEC to the Senate Natural Resource Committee indicating our support of this, and I would be happy to work with Kelly or however you might want to approach that.
Sure. Willie, that was my intent, that if this motion carries, that we would go ahead and send a letter over and offer our, if you will, testimony. We'll submit that testimony in support. The way this session's running, we can submit a letter through Nellis before it is actually heard. And so that would become part of the record that we do support that resolution. So that was my intent, if that works for you and your group.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. That's perfect.
All right, any other discussion, comments on this? Anyone opposed? Anyone opposed? No one's opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Again, thank you guys for that. I just want to give a reminder, we'll be back here in a couple weeks, guys, March 30th. The agenda, minutes, meeting materials, that'll all be posted on the website in the next few weeks. Kelly will be emailing us out what we need to do link-wise for that as well. So make sure to mark your calendars. Don't forget, we have our regular meeting on March 30th. And with that, I'm going to ask for public comment. Is there any public comment to close? Public comment? Anyone on the phone? All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, Sherm, Alan seconded. We're adjourned. Thank you, guys. Thanks for taking time this afternoon. I know we're all busy, so appreciate it very much. Thanks, Kelly. We'll be talking.
Nice work. See you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.